Good evening and good to see you. We're going to be in Acts chapter 1. If you'd go there, Acts 1, and thank you for being here this evening again on this Resurrection Sunday. Acts chapter 1, have the title tonight, What Now? What do we do now? You know, after a big event like the resurrection, the question comes, what do we do now? You ever been somewhere and had some big event or something take place, and then you kind of go home and you're kind of, I don't know what to do now. A little bit of an emptiness there. But we see the apostles are together here. And Acts 1, notice verse 4, being assembled together with them, commanded them, they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. John truly baptized with water, ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. He goes on and explains some things. Jump to verse 8, he says, but ye shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, Judea, and all Judea, and in Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the earth. When he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which said, also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus which is taken up from before you in heaven shall so come in like manner as you've seen him go into heaven. They returned then unto Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is from Jerusalem a Sabbath day journey. So they're standing there, you know the story, and the angels apparently were there and said, what are you guys staring at? They said, well, what do we do now? He said, well, it's time to get busy. And he says, I want you to go. Remember what the Lord told you to do, commissioned you to do, and go forth. And notice the clarification as well with this of the, really the second advent. He says he'll come and sow in the like manner. And I believe that. We know that Jesus will come again. But you think about, what do we do now? Sometimes after that climactic event that takes place in our lives, and especially this situation, we have an empty feeling, if you will. And you can imagine Jesus being taken away, and they said, well, what do we do? There goes our Savior. There goes the Lord. What do we do now? And you ever lost a loved one? Sometimes you know that feeling, or maybe somebody moves away, a family member or something of that nature. You have that feeling. You go, boy, I wish they wouldn't go. I wish they didn't have to leave. I wish they didn't have to pass. So many times we'll have that. And so thinking about, many times we can, if we're not careful, become stagnant and even stale, because we don't think about the future. We don't think about eternity, getting busy for the Lord. Now, a few things here tonight as we look at this. I want you to notice, first of all, what do? First of all, we should focus our attention on the priorities of today. What are the priorities? Now, these men knew that. Jesus commissioned them to go forth. And what? Teach them the same things Jesus taught them, sharing the gospel and getting people baptized, adding them to the church. Later in Acts 2, we'll see that there's people being added to the church. Jesus, the Lord, always multiplies and adds. Satan's in the business of subtracting and dividing. He wants to do that. He wants to subtract from the church, and he wants to divide the church if he can. He wants to destroy the church ultimately. But Jesus wants to add to and multiply to the church, to the family. Everything is positive in that regard. Focus our attention on the priorities of today. That's something very important. Verse 7, he says, and he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. But then he says, you'll receive power. And then go forth as witnesses. So what's our priority today? You know the truth. Sharing the gospel, reaching folks, being a good testimony, and all of those things. It can be very easy to put reaching the world into God's hands. Forget that he's commissioned us to go forth. He wants to use us as a tool. Focused on what you can do, not on what is out of your control. Now notice that in verse 7. What we can do, not what out of our control. They said in verse 6, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom? Well, they were still asking, weren't they? We thought you were going to be king and they crucified you. Okay, that didn't work out. Okay, now that you're back, Lord, are you going to restore everything? And now we got everything in control. You're going to overthrow the government, do all. And what's he say? It's not for you to know that yet. I'll let you know. And again, just to clarify, Jesus gave us everything and let us know everything that he wanted us to know. He said again in John 14, if it were not so, I would have told you. I would have told you. Everything you need to know in this world, in this life, Jesus Christ has made known to you and to me especially. We know, we think about, focus on what you're supposed to do or what you can do, not what's out of your control. A lot of people, they want to serve the Lord and come to church and other things, and yet they don't do very much for the Lord, do they? They think about it. Well, if God wanted me to do that, he'd tell me, he'd let me know that. The sad thing is that he has told us. We've got to know the Word of God. What is God wanting you to do this week or this day or from here on out in this year? What is he wanting you to do? How is he wanting you to go forward? Don't worry about what God is going to do. Do what he's commanded you to do. Okay? Some people, what is God going to do next? You know, these revelation junkies, if you will. Man, what's next? And the president fell down the steps and everyone's going, oh, that's a sign of something, you know. We got to be careful. There's a lot of things we need to be aware of. Obviously, be very, very aware of what's going on. But think about, what's he commanded me to do today? Right now, what can I do? What can I do? Not worried about what he's going to do tomorrow. Many Christians, we know, love to debate and argue about things in the Word of God instead of really reaching the lost as we should be. He says in verse 3, he showed himself many infallible proofs. Many infallible, irrefutable. You can't contradict them. They're infallible. They're true. They're legit. Now go forth. Again, just thinking about some of these things. 1 Timothy 1:4, in the latter times, he talks of some things. He says, neither give heed to fables, endless genealogies, which minister questions, rather than godly edifying, which is in faith. He says, don't be sitting around doing those things, debating causes and other such things. Get busy with what you know you need to do. So again, focus on our attention. Focus our attention on the priorities of today. Focus on what you can do. Focus on what you're commanded to do, not what you want to do, right? What you want to do. Verse 8, I like this part. You ever see power of the Holy Ghost has come upon you? Shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost part of the earth. Now, when they heard that, you know they went, oh, Samaria? Lord, we don't want to go there. Uttermost parts of the earth, I'd rather just stay here. Minister around the people I know. But he says, no. We know clearly throughout church history, we know Thomas. Thomas went over to India, traveled thousands and thousands of miles, and eventually he was martyred over there, but he's planted churches and ministered. We know others where they went all around, north, south, east, and west. And so you think about, they went forth. But again, what you're commanded to do, not what you want to do. Not what you want to do. That's the hard part for me so often. I want to do something, but the Holy Spirit sometimes says, no, I want you to do this. And it always benefits us if we'll do it God's way. Needless to say that. But it always benefits. And when we feel like every time that I sat back and said, you know what, I'd rather just not do that and rest and relax and da-da-da-da-da, it didn't help me at all, did it? I didn't feel good about it. I felt like I messed up, like I disobeyed the Lord and all of those things. But again, take into consideration those things. Now, a couple things. Let me move to second point. We should be burdened to reach this world and not just be saved and satisfied. So they go forth, verses 9 through 11 and even 12, and they're given that great command to go forward. But it's an amazing thing to think about. They saw Jesus ascend up into heaven, and they saw him ascend up. Now, that's an interesting thing to see, obviously, and I hope Lord coming very soon to see that again and be with him, by the way. But they stood there and gazed up. They thought about it. Boy, they'd just been through a whole lot of things, didn't they? A lot of drama, a lot of headache. They were burdened. They've had probably many nights without sleep and all of those things. And now Jesus goes out. Now, Jesus himself, as he looked out on the multitude, you know, he said it what? He was burdened. He had compassion on the multitude because they fainted. And they were like people without a shepherd, a sheep without shepherds. And how true that is for today in our world. Sheep without shepherd. We had folks come this morning, and I'm so thankful for them. But you think about how many people are out there just looking, as I said, for the truth. They don't even know what they're looking for. And this world is like sheep without a shepherd. They don't know what they're doing. They don't know where to go. And we ought to be there for them, obviously. But looking looking at the field. A good picture for us, and I love this analogy, looking to the field and not to heaven. So many people are looking to heaven. I can't wait to get to heaven. You know, I know I've talked to many people, especially of the older generation. I can't wait to get to heaven. They've served a long life loving the Lord and all that. They get so heavenly minded, they're no earthly good. You've heard that before. And we got to be careful. Looking to heaven, and the angel said, what are you looking? What are you gazing up, staring at? If I was standing there, I would have said, what do you mean? Didn't you just see what happened? Obviously, I'm staring at the amazing event that just took place. But he gives the great picture for us. Then they returned. Turned they unto Jerusalem. They went back. Verse 12, notice that. Just an immediate response, an immediate obedience to the word. Jesus said, the harvest is plenteous, but what? Labors are few. The laborers are still few. You think about how many people passed out brochures and tracts in your neighborhood in the last 20 years. I mean, very few, if any. You know, how many passed out brochures in our neighborhood? And I was talking, Dad's neighborhood, he said he passed them out today, yesterday too. But you think about, laborers are very few. And God bless you for doing that. And again, God will bless you for it. But you think about, the laborers are few. The harvest is so plenteous. People are so hurting today. God's looking for laborers, not managers. Not dictators, all those things. Why stand ye gazing? Now, we ought to be burdened. 2 Timothy 2:15, again, he says, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, working for God. Ephesians 2:10, we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, working for Christ. It's what he's done for us, and in return we work for him, not focused on ourselves, but on that. Thirdly, let me say, it should drive us to continue in the faith. Verse 13, notice, and when they were come in, they went up into an upper room, where abode both Peter, James, and John, Andrew, Philip, Thomas, Bartholomew, and Matthew, James, son of Alphaeus, and Simon Zelotes, and Judas, the brother of James. So all the apostles are there. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women, and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren. Again, Jesus' brothers were there. And so you think about now to continue in the faith. They came back to this upper room, this little, I can't imagine it being much bigger than this, probably much smaller. And there's all the apostles sitting there. And there's the women, there's probably a handful of women, you know that. Jesus' mother and his brothers sitting there. And they said, you're not going to believe what happened. They said, oh, don't tell us something else is happening. You know, we've had a tough couple of days here. And they said, no, Jesus commissioned us, as you know, we saw him ascend up into heaven, and he told us to go and follow what he told us to do there at the end of the book of Matthew, the Great Commission. And they continued. They went forth. Notice, they continued with one accord. One accord. We're going to keep going. There are no trophies or crowns for those who didn't complete the race. That's true. There are a lot of people who don't understand. We all get up to heaven, we all receive a participation trophy. That's not how it works, is it? We get a crown for certain things. We get some, and I think a lot of people scoff that off, as we talked several months ago about that. They scoff it off. Well, at least I'm in heaven. That's what matters, right? Yeah, it is, but you're going to get up there and realize how depressed, and I shouldn't say depressed, sad you're going to be. You don't have a crown. You don't have something of that nature there, of a trophy for completing the race. Now we think about, they continued. Paul will later say that, you know, I fought a good fight. I've kept the faith. I finished the course. And so thinking through this, now again, as we see, they went forth. Verse 15, he goes, and in those days, Peter stood up in the midst of the disciples and said, number of the names were about 120 men and brethren, need have be fulfilled. And he goes forth and he's conducting now church business. He's saying, we got to fulfill this seat that's been taken out. We've got to do it. Judas Iscariot's gone. We know that. He killed himself and he betrayed the Savior. We've got to fill this and all these things. And he goes forth and he preaches. And then chapter 2, he begins and he preaches. They receive the Holy Ghost and all of that. This is what he's saying. Continuing with one accord. Drive us to continue. Well, what do we do now? Easter's over. I should say resurrection. Sunday's over. Sometimes we think, well, what now? Same old Monday morning? Yeah, probably, but we keep the faith. We focus in. Say, you know what? I'm going to be more faithful. I'm going to do more for the Lord and trust Him more and follow Him more and be more faithful in this area and in that. that ought to drive us. So again, focus on what you can do and what God's commissioned you to do today. You shall receive power. We have the same commission today, by the way, as these dear brethren in the very first century. Very first century. We've received power of the Holy Ghost. Amen. We know that. We can get that. We can attain greater power. We seek the Lord, abide with Him. And we're witnesses in all the area. In our state, in our county, in our city, in our little town, wherever it is, we're abiding faithful to the Lord. And waiting then, thirdly, for His return. And trusting Him. And Peter will say that we be found of Him. Be found of Him in peace. Found of Him. When He returns, calls us home, whatever the case would be, that we would be found of Him in peace. Be where we're supposed to be, doing what we're supposed to be doing for Him. It burdened us to reach the lost and continue, lastly, to drive us to stay faithful. To stay faithful and trusting Him and looking to Him. I love chapter number 2. I won't read a lot of it, but just as they continued steadfastly, it says, they kept going. They kept trusting Him. And verse 42, they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and breaking of bread and in prayers, and fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together and had all things common. And sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men, and every man had need. And they continued daily in one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Well, how did they know to stay faithful and do all these things? The men that were standing there seeing Jesus send up, they went forth and told everyone, didn't they? What are we supposed to do now? He said, stay faithful. He said, keep going. Keep trusting the Lord. Keep being faithful to Him, serving Him, reaching the lost, all of that. And they went, and then as Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy 2, to what? The things thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who should be able to teach others also. The progression there, teaching others, reaching others for the lost. So again, just briefly here covering tonight, what do we do now? Stay faithful, keep going, trusting the Lord. I know that sounds redundant. And you say, we know that, we already heard that, but truly, put it forth the effort, put forth and put in the work this week. You're busy and busy and busy. I know, but put forth the work, put forth the effort. You may not feel like serving God or coming and being faithful or spending time in Scripture. Put forth the effort. You will not regret one day that you do that. Amen? All right. I hope that's encouragement to you to think about reaching the world, keeping going, focused on Him. What you can do, not what you can't do. Focused on now, not focused only on heaven, but trusting Him, looking to Him. Lord, what do you want me to do now, today, as we celebrate your resurrection? We go forth from that and rejoice in power of the Holy Spirit to reach the world around us for Him. Okay, I'll stop there, all right? Lord, thank you for the time tonight, just briefly to look at a couple things that I was thinking about. Lord, what do we do now? And as we think about these apostles, how heartbroken they must have been, not only to see you be crucified and then believe you were dead and gone, and then all of a sudden they realize you've been resurrected and they see you again and you meet with them. They're excited. They have all this joy and excitement among all the people, and just rejoicing. And then to see you depart again, ascend up to heaven, they must have felt a little bit of anxiety, a little bit of fear. And yet you comforted their hearts by reminding them that you left them the Comforter, which we have still today. And yet, Lord, you've given them and given us a commission to go forth, remaining faithful, doing what we're supposed to be doing, not sidetracked, but focused. Help us to do so, Lord, from here on out. We love and thank you again for this wonderful day as we celebrate your resurrection. In Jesus' name, and amen.